Everyone, and welcome to another episode of Every Horror Movie on Netflix, the podcast where we watch, review, and discuss every horror movie on Netflix. I am one of your hosts, Allison with an I, joined today, as always, by Allison with a Y.
Hey, everyone.
And Patrick.
Hey.
Hey.
It's so good to see you guys again.
You're back.
So happy you're back.
That makes one of us.
Fair.
So over the past month, every time we mention that, you know, you're on a summer sabbatical, I have done an increasingly poor job of remembering what haunted thing you are going to see in Venice. So I think before we get into anything today, we need to know how was... You didn't go. It didn't happen.
I did not make it there, unfortunately.
Oh, sad.
Did anything scary or spooky happen while you were in Italy in general?
God, you know, I wish I could say that it did. I was so just enamored with the country. I had like the most like love goggles on that anyone has ever seen. And so, not that I don't also love spooky things, but I mean, aside from like touring some really old shit that you're like, it's haunted as fuck in here, and like the crypts of the Medici family in the bottom of the Duomo. That is truly haunting, but, like, not scary. Mm-hmm. I will say, unfortunately, nothing scary happened to me in Italy. I was going to go see a jewelry store owned by an alleged vampire. That was the deal. I didn't make it.
Ah, right. As Allison with a Y reminded me of every time this for the past 4 weeks.
Uh-huh.
Good job, Y. Good job. It didn't happen. I apologize to our listeners if I got y'all excited about that, but... You know,
how dare you?
God, I really did feel bad. I was on the plane home and I was like, fuck. But I did watch 3 horror movies in total on the plane there and back. And I'm like, God forbid the same person be sitting behind me, because they would think I was the biggest creep like that ever existed. Like, what is this girl's deal? And I'm like, I have a horror movie podcast and I love it. So lay off me. But there was no one to lay off. I made it all up.
Well, I watched today's movie on a plane as well. So.
Oh, you did?
I don't know if you watched today's movie specifically on a plane, but I did.
I did not. This was not a movie option on the plane for me. Well, without further ado, this episode was my pick. And I will say, I came home from Italy being like, I want to watch an Italian horror movie. And
ooh.
I really wanted like a Suspiria. I couldn't think of any other Italian movies. Like, right? I was like, I'll take the old Suspiria. I'll take the new one. I haven't seen the new one. And I totally couldn't find one, and I sort of choked and just picked one that looked, I don't know, interesting to me, interesting enough. So what I chose, and we can decide if it was interesting enough in our discussion, is Tarot. Tarot follows a group of 7 college friends who discover a strange tarot deck in the basement of a home they've rented. Haley, the only member of the group who knows how to read tarot, reluctantly agrees to do readings for her friends, despite the tradition that you shouldn't use someone else's tarot deck. After the friends leave the house, they're stalked by apparitions who look like the characters from the tarot deck, then killed one by one in ways eerily reminiscent of their tarot readings. As the friend group shrinks, our remaining protagonists try to sort out how to stop the fate that seems to be coming for them.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Speaking of the fate that's coming for us, I think Allison with a Y is going to give us a tarot reading of our own for today.
I'm just going to do a quick little reading to see how this episode is going to go.
As the person in the cast who has the tarot skill, I don't know. Well, actually, are you a tarot reader? Do you have these abilities?
You know what's funny? I have a tarot deck, one singular one that my dad gave me long before he passed away. And there's a sticky note on it that says, these don't work. Plus, I took out of the good ones anyway. So this was probably like... I don't know, 20, 25 years ago, he gave them to me. And it's before, like, now I have a 16-year-old daughter who has, like, 10 tarot decks. And I don't think she really knows what she's doing, but they all do readings on each other. And they're really, I think she just likes the art on the tarot deck. She's, like, got a cat one and, like, I don't know what else.
Cool.
But, no, I like witchy, spooky, metaphysical, astrological things. So I was like, fuck it, why not? So I'm excited for this reading, but just to clarify, you're using your own deck, right?
I am using my own deck. Yes, I've had this deck for over 10 years, and I love this deck. I don't read often anymore because my deck has a tendency to... She doesn't always talk about what you want her to talk about. She talks about what you need to talk about.
Ooh.
So... Wow. She's
a little salty, huh?
She's a little opinionated.
Give those cards a little riffle on Mike. Let's see how that sounds.
I was actually just about to do that.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh. Well, I have goosebumps now. The hairs on the back of my neck are standing up. Little tarot ASMR for you. You didn't know that Amon was becoming an ASMR podcast now. Oh.
Whew. So we're just going to do a quick little three-card spread, a past, a present, and a future spread.
And is this, what are we reading for? Whose or what's fate are we reading here to kick us off?
The episode's fate.
The episode's fate. Okay. All right.
Okay. So in the past, we have the Eight of Wands. So this is going to kind of represent setting up of the episode, I suppose. And the Eight of Wands deals with travel.
Oh.
Which is very interesting. It is about travel, taking action. Wands represents air, so travel by air.
Ooh.
Interesting.
Like watching tarot on a plane, perhaps.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Okay, cards. Hello, I see you. Okay, so that's the past.
When I turn up dead tonight with eight wands shoved in my back, we'll know why.
It wasn't Allison with a Y.
And actually, it's also funny because this is also kind of about like it warns about hasty decisions.
Oh,
so sort of maybe it has to do with the decision to choose this movie instead of what was originally intended. So there's a lot that's a very interesting setup. Here. Okay, so going into the present, we have the Seven of Coins, and coins in other decks is known as Pentacles, but it's coins in mine, and that is the Earth. It's ruled by the Earth. Seven of Coins is about how your hard work is now rewarded. It's pretty simple. It also suggests that it has to do with friendship. Reap what you've sown. Yeah, it's pretty simple. Good news, hard work, all of that having to do with friendship as well.
So our hard work watching the movie is paying off by a circle of friendship to discuss it.
This is such a wholesome reading. That's so cute.
We're not done yet, though.
Oh, no. Yeah, this might get gruesome.
No. So then we're going to our last card is the future. And it is the Six of Cups, and Cups is the element of water, of course. And this is such a wholesome card. This is about, it has a lot to do with sort of acceptance and sort of like looking back on the past fondly.
Oh.
It has a lot to do with very like platonic love. It's a very wholesome, sweet card, a little nostalgic.
Whoa.
So I'm not sure what that means exactly for us in this episode, but this is a very wholesome spread.
Very good vibes reading.
Yeah,
it is a very good vibes reading.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was a little nervous that like the devil would come up or something like that, but yeah. No, this is a really lovely reading.
Well, look at us, guys.
Yeah.
I don't feel threatened by anything you just said.
No, and nor should you be. It's very balanced. It's like, it's elementally balanced, which is always a really good sign. Sometimes when you're too heavy in one element, that in itself has a message. But yeah, lovely reading.
Well, okay, Wai, since you are the resident tarot expert among us,
Oh, God, I'm not an expert.
I want to know what you're... Well, you know, among
you're the,
us.
You're the most of an expert out of the three.
Among us. I didn't say I'm in the world, but I want to know what your thoughts were on if, like, the depiction of tarot in this movie, like how the readings are done, the connections to astrology were accurate or bullshit for you? Because I had some thoughts, but I want to hear yours first.
I have never read tarot from an astrology lens. I thought the card, like the layout that they did was really interesting, mm-hmm. the astrological layout with sort of like the representation of the person, of their sign being in the center. I've done a lot of readings where I will place the center card is the representation of the person being read for. Mm. So that is very authentic to potential readings. But there's so many different layouts.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't doubt that there are some practices that bring in astrology. I have just never heard of that. And none of my friends who are card readers and none of the times I've had my cards read by other people has that ever come into play.
Thank you. Agreed.
Yeah, that was an interesting element because I've like heard stuff about tarot. I've had a couple of readings done, but I had never really heard of this astrological connection too. But it plays a big part in this. You know, Haley's like, oh, you're a Pisces and here's the knight of whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a big deal.
I feel like tarot and astrology are like cousins, but they're not sisters, right? Like they're not twins.
Right.
And so immediately, like pretty early in the movie when they start getting into the readings and the divination cloth or whatever, and she starts directly like referencing their signs, I was like, this is no. And I didn't bother to follow up with any sort of research on it, but I was like, this doesn't seem right to me.
And like the thing is, like there are certain cards that can represent like the different astrological elements, different astrology signs, but I've never heard of a reading being like so interconnected because it's interesting. I mean, I guess in a sense it makes sense to my brain because they are both tools for self-reflection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not a believer that astrology or tarot predict the future.
Right.
I believe they are a way to reflect on what has been. And you sort of, you read these descriptions and then you kind of see what that brings out for you and kind of like how you interpret those things into your life. So I guess it makes sense that people might place those two things together. But at the end of the day, it's, you know, I mean, obviously we all know it's just something you interpret and you have fun with. It doesn't predict the future.
I think it was bullshit. It was a bullshit storyline that I think no one bothered to research. But I'm curious to our listeners, if you have seen this movie or watched this movie and you are like, nope, that's totally legit. Everything they shared about that philosophy was totally legit. I would love to hear about it.
Yeah, please let us know.
Link to the Discord community is in the show notes if you want to tell us about it there. I was curious also as a total like tarot, well, not total, but I don't know that much about tarot. So I'm guessing all the cards that we see in the movie are like actual tarot cards, like none of that is made up. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, what I thought was weird was in all of her readings, the center card was always a major arcana.
What's that?
Okay, so it's like circle of life a little bit and gaining knowledge about life. So you start as the fool and then you end up as the earth, maybe it ends with the earth, I think. And it just the major arcana tells a story. And then you have the minor arcana, which are your wands, your cups, your pentacles, your swords. And each of those sort of follow kind of the numerical order of like a traditional card deck.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got ace through king in those, in each of the suits.
So it's improbable statistically
that improbable.
The center card would be Major Arcana every time.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Unless she chose, like, unless she separated the Major Arcana and only shuffled those for the center card, which
right.
would make it a better movie.
Like she did.
We're making it a better movie.
I kind of appreciated, and then quickly soured on how sort of, I guess, efficient and to the point this was.
Yes, it was.
I mean, you have like maybe 2 minutes of setting up the barest dynamics between these characters. Like, you find out this one's the nerd. These two were dating, but now they've broken up. This one is the one who reads tarot, and the other three, we don't fucking know.
They don't have personalities.
Exactly. And then it's right into tarot readings.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is the setup for everything, because all these characters' fates are based on their tarot readings. And then it's basically right into death.
Right into the death.
Starting to happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I don't know. I guess I just appreciated that within... I want to say 5 minutes. It's already given you what you came for, which is some spooky tarot readings. Mm-hmm. And then we started to kind of rapidly tire of how it was just kind of rushing through things in a bit of a perfunctory manner. But yeah, you get tarot readings right off the bat.
It does deliver what it promised, mm-hmm. which is tarot. Mm-hmm.
So, okay, while I was away... I saw your post about the last episode. Unfortunately, I have not listened to it yet. However, you made reference to something called Horror for Pretentious Teenagers, which, without having heard the conversation yet, I'm wondering if this might fit into something like that, in your opinion.
The whole time I was watching this, I was like, this is absolutely horror for pretentious teenagers.
Is it for pretentious teens, or is it just for teens, though?
Well, I guess it depends generationally. I don't know how many teenagers of our generation were super into tarot, but I would have my pretentious friends and I would have absolutely been into this.
I guess that's true.
I think teenagers of today's age that are way more into tarot than our generation was... this is their shit. And
yeah.
I think the whole kind of premise of this movie is like, these kids have money. They have enough money to rent a huge mansion in the Catskills.
Yeah.
They all drive nice cars. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought they lived in LA at first. I was like, oh, these are such California kids. And then I was like, oh, nope, they're such New York kids. Like, turns out they mm-hmm. were going to school in the city. Totally pretentious.
Yeah, I mean, I think it exists in like a weird sort of nether zone because, you know, as y'all just said, how many teens are actually going to be like, oh, I want to see a horror movie about tarot? Like, Ouija board, I feel like, is something that still probably comes out at, you know, high school parties or whatever.
Oh, yeah, can
like, that
confirm.
Feels a little more accessible and less pretentious. But the basic concept here, yeah, I guess that's true. It is a little, like, exclusive. Probably not every teen is like, oh, cool, I want to see the tarot movie. But also, just the tone and presentation here is, to me, about as generic, like, summer teen popcorn slasher as it comes.
There's a lot of James Wan energy.
Ooh, yeah, I could see that.
Like, aesthetically, it feels very inspired by the whole Conjuring.
That's a super good call, like The Nun, especially, yeah. Maybe.
Yeah.
I will say, I really wanted to try to appreciate the premise of this movie. I thought, okay, you don't see a lot of things with tarot readings, you know, like... We haven't had, I'm sure there have been Ouija board movies. I've stayed away from them because...
There's one called Ouija.
Yeah, there is. Mm-hmm. Now that I'm saying...
Ouija Origin of Evil.
Well, mm-hmm. Wow, thanks, Y. I appreciate that.
Directed by our boy, Mike Flanagan, who now has his own emoji on the Discord.
Oh, whoa.
He does, wow. Yeah.
Thank you, super fan and super moderator, Bree. I never would have thought about that, but I love that we just have like a little emoji of his cute little bald head.
Oh my God, I love that.
Wait, directed by Mike Flanagan, I'm intrigued.
Oh, see it. It's so good.
Is it really? Is it like good or awesomely bad?
Oh, no, it's actually good. It's, like, better than a movie based on the fucking board game Ouija has any right to, which it was just, like, Hasbro licensing out their content. But, I mean, it's Mike Flanagan, so, yeah he did a bang-up job. There's an Amon episode about it. You should listen to it.
Oh, man. Okay, I somehow missed that through the years. Anyhow, I really wanted to appreciate the premise of this movie. I think tarot is an intriguing concept. I think it's something, like, I don't know. I haven't seen a lot of other movies that use tarot. And it fell apart for me pretty quickly. I'm just going to be honest. But I really was like, man, this could have been so much better. Like, if you're going to use this topic, do it right.
Yeah, I don't mind the basic premise. And there were parts of this where I thought it executed on it decently. I actually kind of liked the creepy, like, tarot illustrations come to life that stalk them right before they die.
Me
like,
too.
Those were decent.
And scary.
I was into that. Yeah.
Spooky.
Yeah, spooky for sure.
Yeah. But so much of the rest of this, kind of like I said already, just felt very generic, like kind of paint by the numbers. Like we said already, there are like exactly three characters who have any like sort of actual personality. Mm-hmm. And at least one of them is just a basic archetype. At least one of those three is just like the basic like nerd slash stoner archetype, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Which, you know, whatever. We've seen it a million times before. It's not like this is a particularly uncommon sin, but it was just like, okay.
You know, it felt like it was trying to do, just based off of kind of like the beats of it and how fast it got into everything and into the action. It felt like it was really trying to be like very heavily like supernatural teen slasher film.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Just really like following that. Like, okay, we've got to have this much cannon fodder, basically. We're not going to spend too much time making you feel any type of way about them.
Yeah, it's very like Final Destination meets a tarot deck with a lot less sense of humor than the right. Final Destination movies.
Yeah, but this has like so much more of that like spooky like aesthetic to it.
Yeah.
You know, like than dark, Final Destination does.
Dark and goopy.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't feel attached to any one single character in this movie, which I think speaks to the acting, it speaks to the casting, and it speaks to the script. Like, I did not give a shit what happened to these kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, as far as I know, this is a cast of mostly nobodies.
Yeah.
The one interesting note is that the nerd character, Paxton, who I keep referring to, is played by Jacob Batalone. I don't know exactly how you pronounce his last name, but he's best known for playing Peter Parker's best friend Ned in the Spider-Man mm-hmm. movies, and it was very strange to see him out of that context. I mean,
he
did the best I think he could have with this material.
Oh, I hated him the most.
Oh, did you?
it's a horribly annoying character as written on paper, but I thought he did, you know, what he could with it.
Yeah, I thought he was the only one with personality, so
yeah.
I actually kinda cared a little bit.
Oh, yeah. He was just that schleppy friend that's always cracking a joke and that I could stand for maybe like a day, but I'm like, if I were stuck in a house for a weekend with this kid, I would be like, shut up.
And they clearly all were kind of like that with him, though.
That's true.
Yeah.
They were.
Yeah.
That's true.
No, it's an incredibly annoying character, but it's the only one who comes off as like distinct in really any way. Because mm-hmm. like I said, the other two are just like, Haley is the one who can read tarot. And I mean, like that actress gives a fine enough performance. And then the other one is just like Haley's ex.
Yeah.
Okay.
Super bland. Super, super bland.
Super bland. Yes.
Yeah. I will say that as soon as I saw, well, first of all, I was thinking that they would have gotten killed in the order that their tarot was read, but it wasn't. So I was trying to figure out what order they were killed in.
Right. I also thought that that's where they were going, but it didn't. They didn't end up sticking to that pattern.
They didn't.
That wasn't Death's design.
It wasn't Death's design, right. But then I was like, ooh, maybe there's like an Easter egg here, which again, I didn't take the time to research because I didn't care enough. But I'm kind of like, why wouldn't you go in order? Did they go in order of like birthdays? Because the first girl that was whacked was the birthday girl.
And I feel confident saying no one gave any thought to that. I feel confident saying you're giving so much more thought to it than anybody involved in this did.
That makes me sad.
Yeah. What also makes me sad is that this is based on a YA book, the title of which is Horrorscope, which I think is an awesome title for this concept, and I can't believe they didn't keep it for the movie.
That is a better name, but they were probably like, people won't be able to say it.
Yeah.
Horrorscope.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of consonants in a row there.
Just as likely, though, that someone would look at the actual title of this and be like, tear it.
Tear it.
Tear it.
Yeah, I mean, like Paxton did, right? In the beginning,
yeah.
He was like, look at these tarot cards. And she's like, tarot.
Right.
God, he was punchable. As soon as I saw the first monster, right, which was the High Priestess, I was like, oh, God.
Oh, were you not a fan of the monsters?
I liked some of them. So I think once I got past the idea that, oh, this is what we're doing with this movie, this is what I can expect from it, I started to like be like, okay, I'm going to lean into this and, you know, get what I can out of it. I think the spookiest one to me was the Jester.
Yes.
And the magician. The magician, that scene truly was terrifying for, I think,
I did, yeah.
Just like the context around it.
By the time the magician showed up, I think I had just sort of lost the will to live and was like kind of checked out. But the jester or the fool, what is that
character called? It's the fool, yeah.
Oh, the fool.
That was pretty cool, actually. Its face kind of kept like vacillating between like smile and frown in this really stuttery way that was kind of off-putting, off-kilter in a good way. That was definitely my favorite of the critters by far.
I liked when he did that like scary bend over, like, and then like contorted himself 360, and then Paxton looks down at his like weed vape and he's like, am I wigging the fuck out? But like, no, bro, your friends just told you not to leave, and your tarot reading was that you shouldn't be in an enclosed space. Like, what are you doing? You have the survival instincts of like a fart.
But yeah, it really like charges through, I want to say what, like two or three of these deaths in pretty quick succession.
Yeah.
And then we start unraveling some of what this is actually all about, which we'll, you know, we'll get into the real details of that in the spoiler room. If you don't want tarot spoiled for you, we're not going to do it until the spoiler room. But I mean, spoiler free, how did you guys feel about sort of where this wound up going, the reasons for all of this?
I thought it was creative. I will start there. I mean, what else are you going to do with that? What else could the twist be? It's like they had to come up with some reason, and it was good enough for me. And it was in line with how quality the rest of the movie was, I guess.
Yeah, it delves into some history behind this deck. And I didn't hate it. It was creative enough, I guess. And usually I'm like, don't explain it to me. Don't explain what's happening. It's scarier and more interesting if there's no explanation. But I think there was so little else going on in this that I was like, okay, we're actually doing something here other than just trying to deliver tarot readings and kills in the most like brutally efficient manner possible.
Yeah. I thought the backstory behind it was interesting. I feel like it was definitely necessary to give this film anything other than just watching these people die at the hands of the major arcana, you know. But I don't know, there were elements also about the backstory that I didn't love, which I feel like tie into some things that I haven't loved about some other movies that we've watched.
Very, very recently.
I know exactly
what you're talking about.
Yeah, just a running theme in some of these horror films.
Yeah.
Which we will talk about in the spoiler room.
Yeah.
Was this movie rated R? I'm going to ask that question.
I was wondering that myself, actually. I'm going to guess no.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything that pushes hard enough to get an R. I would be surprised if it's R.
No, it's PG-13.
Okay, yeah, that makes 100% sense.
So that actually makes me feel a little bit better that it's PG-13 and not R, because if that's what they did with an R-rated movie, I would be just very, very, very disappointed.
Fair.
Like, I'm kind of a gore hound, so there wasn't a lot of that either. And the death scenes were, like, creepy but not gory. And I wouldn't say scary, but they were spooky. So,
There, it, you know, it achieves some unsettling moments. here and there.
Yeah.
I agree.
I'll give it that.
Okay, so before we go to the spoiler room, we got to review this thing. Starting with Patrick, view it, cue it, or screw it to Taro?
I gotta screw it. I mean, this is far from the worst or most offensive thing that I've watched for this show. It's just bland. You know, as I said, it has a few moments here and there. Few of these tarot critters are decently spooky. I just like calling them tarot critters. I'm going to call them that for the rest of the episode. A few of them are decently spooky and make for, you know, kind of a creepy scene. Nothing that I'm going to remember for more than, like, the remainder of this episode, probably. So, yeah. Screw it. Why? How about you?
You know, I'm going to give it a cue it. I don't think it was great. However, I think this would be actually kind of like a fun, spooky season movie for like groups of friends to watch together and kind of like meme through together.
Sure.
It's light heart. It's not light. I mean, it's like light enough where it's like not going to like bring down the vibe. It's got a cool aesthetic to it. You know, it's not going to leave you like thinking, but I think it could be like fun as like kind of a social sort of movie to watch together.
You know what? We talked about horror for pretentious teens. I'm going to coin another new genre label, wallpaper horror.
Wallpaper horror.
Yeah. It's just like kind of the way you just described. It's just there. It's a fine movie for it to just be there while you're chilling with your friends during spooky season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of perfect for that setting. I wouldn't necessarily say like you need to, like, it's not a view it. You do not need to watch this. I wouldn't recommend watching it on your own. I think your experience might be better if you have some people around you to go like, what the fuck with, you know?
It's like horror Muzak.
Yeah, but I think you could potentially have a fun enough experience with it for it to go in your Netflix queue. Allison with an I, what do you give it?
Oh, I know I picked it. This is a big fat screw it for me. I do appreciate what you just said. Why? I think it's mild salsa, so it's good for a lot of different kinds of people. I think it could be a cute, like, get-together with your girlfriends during spooky season and watch, you know, this, Hocus Pocus, maybe something a little more medium salsa just to give it some balance. But in no way would I, you know, recommend this to just the average person. Like I said, I think it had a really cool concept. I think it was not at all what I would have done with whatever kind of budget they had, which I so often feel. I didn't hate it. I certainly didn't love it. I feel like I did look down a couple times and be like, how are there still 20 minutes left in this movie? Like, what else are they going to do? But yeah, for me, it was a screw it, unfortunately. But that's why we watch and learn.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What's the spoiler room today? Is it a spoiler mansion, I guess? Mansion in the Catskills.
It's another fucking spoiler basement because they find this tarot deck in the basement.
Always the damn spoiler basement.
It's always the damn spoiler basement, or the damn, I don't know. What's another like horrifying location? The damn magician's box.
Oh god!
Damn spoiler. Ooh, magician's, I like that. Box.
There's an attic moment. There's a subway moment. You know, like there's a lot of places we could go with this.
I like Magician's Box, just for variety. Let's do it.
Yeah.
The spoiler Magician's Box.
Yeah. But before we go there, as always, we need to remind you to visit our website, everyhorrormovieonnetflix.com, where we've got a list of all our episodes, as well as a link to our merch store, where you can get t-shirts and coffee mugs and stickers and all kinds of other horse shit with Every Horror Movie on Netflix art on them. We'd also love for you to join us on social media.
And you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Blue Sky, YouTube at Amoncast, EHMONcast, and TikTok at Amon Podcast. And then you can also follow the link in our show notes to our Discord server, where you can discuss the movies that we've been watching on there with us. And you can tell us about what other horror movies that you've been loving or hating on, as well as like, what are you reading? What are you listening to? We've got a wonderful moderator, Bree, who keeps our shit in check there.
And she just did an incredible refresh of the entire server, and it's so, so new and shiny and full of Mike Flanagan emojis and other good stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you can also, please, we beg of you, subscribe to the podcast anywhere you get your podcasts and leave us a review, preferably a nice one, but we'll really take anything at this point.
We just want the attention, for God's sake.
Just give us some attention.
All right, well, should we pull out our saws and get into this spoiler magician's box?
Oh boy.
I'd rather not, but if we must.
Let's do it.
All right, we are back, and we are in the Spoiler Magician's Box, and here to spoil all things tarot. We saved some things that we were dancing around prior to the Spoiler Magician's Box, namely, I guess, the origin of these cards and the story of how they ended up in the hands of these derpy children. Why do you want to give us the backstory of this deck?
Oh, I'll do my best to remember. So after like the first, I don't know, two or three friends bite it in ways that were eerily similar to their tarot readings, the remaining friends decide to kind of Google what the fuck is going on. And they end up finding a tarot expert named Alma Astrom. And she's actually played by somebody that we saw. What movie was that again?
The Watchers.
Yeah, it's Olwen Fuere, who is kind of an amazing actor, really. She was in Mandy. She played old Sally Hardesty in the awful Texas Chainsaw Massacre reboot, relaunch from a few years ago. But yeah, it's her.
She was a really welcome surprise for me because...
Yeah.
Agreed. It makes sense that they only had her for a short time in the movie because she was the best one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Certainly has the most screen presence of this.
I was going to say, she's always a presence.
Group. Yes.
Has a very commanding energy and clearly is a very skilled actor. Mm-hmm. Not that anybody was like horrible in this, but just, yeah, I think the bigger issue was with the writing then. The acting, but she, because she's so skilled, she brought so much to it that probably wasn't in the script, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
So they track her down, like they like bang on this woman's front door, and eventually she lets them in and tells them the story of those of the tarot deck. And basically from like centuries ago there was this count who had an astrologer, because a lot of, you know, there was a time, and maybe it still happens, where a lot of like high powered people would have their own personal astrologers to help them make decisions and figure out when were more auspicious days and times to do certain things. Like, this is actually based somewhat in history. This was a thing.
When you said maybe people still do this today, I just started envisioning like Bezos and Trump and
I'm sure they do.
Yeah.
I think they're
sitting down with their astrologers.
I remember when Kamala was running her campaign, and some of the astrologers that I follow on TikTok, I'm not ashamed to say that, were like, she has to have an astrologer on her team because she's dropping things on certain dates that are like astrologically beneficial to, you know, the collective or whatever. Wow. Yeah, wow. Yeah. I mean, there are some, and I will say this again with no shame, some reputable astrologers out there that I think know their shit, and you know, it's a science. It truly is. So
okay.
Anyway,
so maybe it does still happen.
So maybe it does still happen. But anyway, so this count, he had his own personal astrologer, and he basically wanted her to figure out how his pregnant wife was going to like make it through childbirth. And the astrologer said, like, sorry, your wife's going to die. Fairly common back then. pretty common back then. He didn't like that. It all culminates in this count. Well, first of all, the astrologer's daughter gets like murdered by these like powerful men who are trying to like hunt this astrologer down. She goes into hiding. She does like this horrible, like, blood ritual tarot reading that ends up with her sacrificing herself so that all of these people whose tarot, like, whose cards she read will die in the way that the cards, like, hint at, basically. And so, like, now the deck is cursed. Anybody who gets their cards read by the deck will have a horrible ending as it was depicted in the cards, by the cards.
And Alma knows this because it happened to her.
Yes.
Like back in the 60s or something. It feels like she was reading tarot at Woodstock. She found the deck, did a reading for her friends, and they all died except her because the curse does not affect the person who does the reading.
Right. Unless they read their own horoscope, which Alma did not.
Correct, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, all the rest of them are under threat. And there's like varying levels of who takes what seriously. Like quintessential guy, ex-boyfriend is like, we're really going to believe this woman. And you're like, yeah, I mean, that's the whole reason you just did what was a very easy Google search to find her address. Let's be real.
Right.
Drove 3 hours, knocked on her door. She answered, yeah, I mean, what other help are you getting? But, you know, there's so many tropey moments there where the guys are like, fuck this, I'm going to leave and be by myself. And then Haley's like, that's such a classic Pisces move. Like,
yeah,
it's just like pretty cringe all around.
Yeah. And then a few more die. They try and burn the deck. That doesn't work. They throw it in the fire. The cards don't burn.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then they realize after like a couple more of their friends die that the best thing to do is to do a reading for the astrologer, the astrologer who put a curse on the cards, because then maybe that curse would finally go back on her and destroy her so that she can't keep doing what she's been doing.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a good idea in theory.
Yeah, actually, you know what? I liked the logic behind that. I'm like, yeah, turn it back on her. Like, because she doesn't have to, you know, none of these people, like the people who the astrologer read for in the past who had like all died from their readings, like they didn't have to consent to their readings for them to come true, you know? So within the rules of the world, she didn't have to consent to her reading for that to come to fruition.
Oh, and we should note that before they get into this reading, poor Alma dies.
Yeah, Alma gets got.
And Alma is killed in the style of the Six of Swords, right? Yeah. Because she's found with six swords in her back.
Yeah, which was interesting. I appreciated it because it was similar imagery. It's not the Six of Swords that's standard in like the Rider-Waite deck to show that imagery of the swords through the person. It's the Ten of Swords. But it was like very, very reminiscent of what's the standard kind of Rider-Waite imagery of the Ten of Swords. The person, the body laying down with the swords kind of like standing upright, but through them.
That's interesting because it like kind of tickled my brain in a way that, you know, again, I don't know tarot super well, but when I saw that image, my brain kind of went, oh, I've seen that before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a very classic tarot image.
Yeah. And I thought that was cool.
You know, I like how when Haley did the reading on the astrologer, she like got into her like trauma. Like, she was like, you're in pain and you're carrying it and you don't have to anymore. And what happened to you is terrible. Because honestly, I was like, maybe this woman just needs someone to empathize with her. Like, it was really shitty what happened to her, you know? And these kids certainly don't deserve the wrath of that. Like, her curse isn't cursing the right people anymore. But, like, I sort of I think I did laugh a little bit out loud that Haley got, like, down and dirty with the with the astrologer and was just like, you don't have to carry this trauma with you anymore.
It's a trope that I kind of like, I kind of love. I love it. But also, speaking on that, it was one of the things that kind of bothered me about the backstory was that this, like, this woman who is an astrologer basically becomes this evil, vengeful witch.
Yeah.
You know, and I get, you know, a bunch of dudes kill your daughter because you gave an astrology reading they didn't like.
The initial revenge is like based.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Chill as hell.
And then it just becomes your generic witch who fucks with people for no reason for centuries afterward. Yeah, people
who did nothing to her and don't deserve it.
Yeah.
And you lose that empathy.
I have an issue.
Yeah, you lose that empathy for her that she deserves.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because her, like, pain was completely understandable. I mean, I think, you know what? Rewrite the movie. If she had gone after other powerful men.
Yeah, better movie.
If that was the movie, better movie, instead of just a bunch of stupid college students.
Teens with a Z.
But then it wouldn't be horror for pretentious teens. So
that's true.
Yeah, the final reading for the astrologer, you know, like you said, it's such a trope at this point, you know, the climactic encounter with the spirit where the key is actually empathizing and setting the spirit free. And, you know, whatever, it's been done a bunch of times, and it's been done a bunch of times very well. But I think just coming in this movie that I already was pretty lukewarm on, and that was already full of a number of tropes, I was just like, okay, another one of these, huh?
Yeah.
Well, and then the final thing is that Haley and her boyfriend, you know, they're walking down a dark road, and his reading was like, you're walking down a dark path. And they like look at each other after thinking like that they defeated this astrologer, and that the reading on her was what they needed to do to finish the job. And a car pulls up all ominously on the dark road, and he looks at her and he's like, dark road, dark path was my reading. And then it was fucking Schleppy Paxton.
Schleppy Paxton.
I knew he survived because he was the only one who they didn't show the actual death.
They didn't.
And I was like, they've established that you actually see every other character die. We didn't see him die. I was like, I don't know how he got out of this. And their explanation was
stupid.
Not great. But
that was so dumb.
It was the really explanation. Dumb.
The explanation was really fucking stupid because he did not do anything to get out of it himself.
Well, and it's delivered in a mid-credit sequence, too. Like, the credits actually start. It shows, the title Tarot.
Mm-hmm.
And then it, like, reveals his story of how he got away, which is literally just the doors of the elevator opening and his roommate is there, who we don't see on screen. And that's it. That's the whole scene. I was like, is this supposed to be funny? Or what am I supposed to be taking from this? Why did you even tack this little bit on?
Yeah. That being said, that explanation aside, I appreciated that he didn't die. I wish we had a better explanation. I wish he had outsmarted it. But I liked that, like, I don't know, they kind of stayed true to, like, their own laws of, like, okay, you didn't see the death, so here he is. And I like that there was nothing implied that the astrologer survived it and the curse continued.
Mm-hmm.
That was actually like, because I was waiting for that.
Like a tarot too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I actually, you know what? That was one of the things that by the end of the movie, I was like, I'm going to give this a cue it because I appreciate that they like let the rules of the world just exist, and they didn't have to fucking try and find a way to finagle around it for a tarot too.
Yeah, we don't like linger on a final shot of like a card that they missed or something.
Oh,
like
God,
that.
Nobody needs a tarot too, please.
No.
But
for some reason, they go with something even fucking dumber, which is this dumbass scene about how Schleppy Paxton escaped the fool or whatever. That was
from an elevator. Like, there is not a much more vulnerable position you can be in than backed into an elevator who. The buttons are now like the sign of the devil, which was a nice little fun touch. But how did you do that? Did you outfool him?
Yeah. I don't know, man. That was some weird shit.
That was weird.
Yeah.
And it had a perfectly okay ending before the credits started. And I mean, I don't know. I'm not really a person who like shits on mid credits and post credit sequences in general. I'm a fucking MCU shill. But, but this was, it was so weird. It had a perfectly like fine enough ending, and then it's like, oh, here's another little thing.
It's almost as if they were like, we forgot to film Paxton's death. Let's just pretend he lives.
Well, I think Y's reading turned out to be pretty true, pretty aligned with our actual fate.
Yeah.
We came together in friendship to discuss a movie that I watched on an airplane.
Yeah. Pretty on the nose. Well, what are we watching next week?
It is my turn to pick, and I have selected the film, capital F, Clown.
Ooh.
Has anybody heard of, Clown?
No. I have not.
It's a film that I've like sort of had my eye on for a long time. I know it's about like a guy whose clown costume sticks to him and he has to like rip it off himself. Ugh. And it results in some kind of weird disfiguration, which just sounds like a kind of perverse and gross concept to me that has always intrigued me, but I've never seen it. So I guess it's time to actually do it. Let's read the Netflix blurb real quickly here, as we usually do. In this twisted chiller from the director of Spider-Man Homecoming, a loving dad transforms into a cannibalistic clown with an appetite for children. Oh, and that's the other reason that I've been intrigued by this for a while, because John Watts, who did all three of the Tom Holland Spider-Man movies so far, directed this.
Oh.
It sounds like this could not be further from those. And also, weirdly, our second film, going to be our second film in a row tied to that franchise.
I was going to say, I was like, that's so weird.
Yeah, rather odd. So yeah, we'll be doing Clown. Why? Do you want to give us a final tarot reading to predict how Clown might go?
Yeah, let's read the cards and see how Clown's going to turn out.
Oh, there's that ASMR again. Ooh.
Interesting. Okay, we've got Eight of Coins for past, King of Swords for present, and Nine of Cups for future. So let's see what these mean. This feels like a very different vibe from the last one.
Oh, no.
So Eight of Coins is kind of like learning new things and applying what you've learned, basically, in a more practical way. It's about a lot about like past struggle, but sort of like kind of getting through that. With like creativity. Okay, so that's an interesting setup.
With my 8-year journey of doing the podcast now, I definitely could see past struggle and continuing to get through it with creativity, like I did with tarot.
Yes. So then in the present card, the King of Swords, the court cards. And these can represent like an actual like person sometimes, or like a specific personality. The King of Swords is a very like strong authority figure, very intelligent, very perceptive, really strong-willed, opinionated. So that's in the present.
Gosh, it could describe any of the three of us. Even though Allison with a Y just stared directly at me after saying that.
So I am honestly like I'm so baffled by this. Okay. Anyways, going into the future, Nine of Cups, basically like another sort of success, fulfillment.
Oh.
Like it's very like social. Think like gatherings, parties. I don't know. You know what? I this is a fuck ass reading.
So I'm hearing that we're going to have like a whole gang of people over to discuss Clown with us and be really strong willed about it. And it's going to be tough, but we're going to get through it with creativity. I just reversed the entire reading, but
yeah, whatever. I have no idea what this means.
And maybe the future card is yet to reveal its meaning.
Oh, maybe we'll find out after we watch Clown and discuss it on our next episode.
Maybe.
Well, until then, visit the website, everyhorrormovieonnetflix.com. Go to the socials, Amoncast, EHMONcast on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. We're on LinkedIn, right?
LinkedIn.
I don't know.
We're not getting on LinkedIn, you guys. We have to draw the line fucking somewhere.
Facebook, Instagram, Blue Sky, Nextdoor. We're on Nextdoor, I think. I'm sorry. I'm just going completely insane at this point.
What's the one like dating app for like celebrities?
Oh, Raya?
Raya, yeah. We're on Raya.
Find us on Raya at Amoncast.
We'll be out there, you know, trying to date fucking Timothy Chalamet and Pedro Pascal.
Oh, God, don't start with that.
We're on TikTok at Amon Podcast, E-H-M-O-N Podcast. And our link to our Discord is in the show notes.
See you guys next week to review Clown. And I'm so glad to be back.
We're happy to have you back.
We're so glad to have you back.
For every horror movie on Netflix, I am Allison with an I.
I'm Allison with a Y.
And I'm Patrick.
See you next week.
Bye.